It's the hottest topic in Hollywood and on bestseller lists. Death row convicts who become born-again Christians at the very last minute. Just before the lethal needle goes in, they turn to Jesus. What's on the other side of such a death? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. As we continue our study about last day events and the reality of the resurrection, Lonnie and I want to send you a special gift book. Details coming up, but first, let's join Lonnie for today's message. How far from the electric chair to the kingdom?
Yesterday, I received a letter from a pen friend of mine in a prison who's just received word that all of his appeals have failed, and he's going to be sentenced to death. Been a difficult 24 hours for me. My friend will die. There's an old death row story that's very precious to some of us who work here at the Adventist Media Center. It goes all the way back to the year 1956, when a young 27-year-old man named Sam Tannehill was executed in the electric chair at Ohio State Penitentiary, partly because of the Christian influence of our sister broadcast, the Faith for Today television program. This convicted murderer had become a born-again Christian several months before he met his fate. Interestingly, the theme of death row conversion seems to strike even secular America right in the gut. My good friend, the late Pastor William Fagel, wrote a book about the experience, 3 Hours to Live, which was widely read. Twice here on The Voice of Prophecy, we've alluded to a recent bestseller entitled The Chamber by John Grisham, where a prisoner surrenders his life to the Lord just before entering the gas chamber. And as some of you know, a book and recent 1995 film entitled Dead Man Walking describes in very spiritual terms how a young murderer named Matthew Poncelot is ministered to by a Catholic nun named Helen Prejean, and he ultimately confesses his sins and accepts Christ as his Savior. Now, all this week, we're really on a larger topic here on The Voice of Prophecy. We're exploring the great puzzle pieces that make up the events of the last days, the second coming of Christ, the judgment, the thousand-year millennium, Armageddon. And tied in with it all is a major event that brings hope to all of us, the resurrection of faithful Christians who have died and been buried since the beginning of this world. I mentioned on Monday that there are 4 great classes of people at the end of time. Every human being who ever lived is in one of these 4 groups. 1, the living righteous. 2, the righteous dead. 3, the wicked living. And 4, the wicked dead. Now, what happens to each of these 4 groups? Obviously, you and I today are either in the group of the righteous living, or we're living but have not accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, if we don't live until the time of the second coming, then we'll be in one of the other 2 groups. So we're certainly interested in the fate of all 4 of these categories. Now, what happens, first of all, to those who are Christian believers and who are alive to see Jesus come? What happens to the living saved? Well, friend, let me reiterate what I said Monday would be a main goal for me. We want to very prayerfully and humbly explore Scripture's truths. There are several opinions on this question. And they're sincere opinions. I'm going to share with you what my own personal study has indicated and what my Adventist upbringing has trained me to believe and preach. Now, friend, as your Christian brother, I accept and respect the sincerity of your beliefs. I really do. This week's radio time, though, is devoted to an earnest discussion of ideas. My own Adventist denomination finds the answer to this question in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verses 1 to 3. Now here's what Jesus himself says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that's heaven, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said these hope-inspiring words shortly before returning to heaven. And he clearly states that he's going there to prepare a place there for us. Now, yesterday we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul tells us, "The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." I can't help but bring in another favorite verse found in 1 Corinthians 2:9. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." There's a beautiful scene in Revelation chapter 14, one of my favorite, a heavenly scene where Christian saints are present, people redeemed, quote, from the earth. So friend, I accept as truth this puzzle piece. Christ will come to this earth to claim as his own the righteous living, and he takes them to live with him in heaven. Second point, and this is a most interesting and important Bible topic. The righteous dead are resurrected at the time of the second coming, and they too are taken to heaven. Several Bible passages state very clearly the trumpet of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. 1 Thessalonians 4 is one we just read. Look it up again if you want to confirm this concept. But now this brings us to a critical debate, and it also takes us back to all three of our death row stories. Does a Christian who dies in the gas chamber or in the electric chair or by lethal injection or even of old age go to heaven immediately? Or is he or she resurrected at the time of the second coming? Now, Sam Tannehill died at 8 o'clock p.m. on the night of November 27, 1956.
That's just over 40 years ago.
Now, has he been in heaven since that time? Or is Sam sleeping in a grave in Ohio waiting for the resurrection morning? Many, many good Christians, certainly the large majority, believe that a believer goes to heaven at the time of death. And this does make people wonder, what is the purpose of a resurrection if people are already in heaven? The answer, according to some, is that only a person's soul goes to heaven at the time of death, and that at the resurrection, that person's soul is reunited with the resurrected and glorified body. Now, without arguing that point, friend, let me very openly and honestly share the perspective of the Voice of Prophecy. We believe and teach that when a Christian dies, they simply sleep in an unconscious state until Jesus comes again. Whether it's 40 years for Sam Tannehill or 5,000 years for someone like Adam or Eve, the intervening years go by as if in a brief moment. And then they see Christ coming in the clouds as promised in so many verses. Now, you have a right to ask why. Let me try to share verses on both sides of this question. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything." Psalm 146, verse 4, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Jesus himself clearly described death as a sleep, both when he raised the daughter of Jairus and when he resurrected Lazarus. "They're sleeping," he said to the mourners. You know, friend, if we want to believe that a person who dies goes right to heaven or to any other place, the story of Lazarus is most interesting. Read it there for yourself in John chapter 11. Now, here's a man who'd been dead 4 days. Now, if a person's soul goes anywhere, Lazarus was in a unique position to tell us where he'd been. Now, had he gone to heaven, but now been forced to return? He never says so. In fact, all indications are that those 4 days went by as in a flicker of a moment. Lazarus and Jairus' daughter didn't have a thing to report. Are there verses on the other side of this biblical question? Friend, there certainly are. I'll admit that. In fact, one of the most difficult is in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says about the choice between living and dying, "I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." Well, friend, what do we do with two hard concepts, the two apparently conflicting verses? The Old Testament says the dead know nothing, and Jesus calls death a sleep. But Paul seems to say that when he dies, he goes straight to heaven. Well, let me quickly take you back to death row convict Sam Tannehill's experience. Now, he was converted as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian while in prison. So he and I would share a similar biblical outlook, which I hope you'll forgive. But that night, November 27, 1956, a few minutes before he died, he said to Pastor William Fagel, and I quote, "I'm just going to go to sleep tonight as I have done every other night. No one should feel sorry for me. Everything is made right between me and God. My sleep will seem but a moment, and the next voice I hear will be the voice of Jesus Christ waking me to spend an eternity with him in the earth made new." Now, Sam almost echoes the words of Paul, doesn't he? "Death is just a sleep," he says. "The very next thing I'm going to see will be Jesus' face. Whether it's 4 years or 40, it will be just a moment to me." You see, in a very real sense, as far as Sam's human experience was concerned, he was indeed, quote, "departing to be with Christ." He was strapped into that electric chair thinking to himself, "In just a moment, I'll see the face of Jesus." To him, it really was going to be just a moment. Let me point out something very important, that this Bible concept does give us a coherent puzzle piece thus far. Let's review. Jesus Christ returns to this earth in a glorious and literal and very visible way. If you and I are alive and believing in him, we'll be caught up together in the clouds and be on our way to the mansions of heaven. If we've been laid to rest, or if we have Christian loved ones who have been laid to rest, they'll be raised right then on that very day. Then go with us to the city of God. No one will get there ahead of anyone else. We'll all see the face of Christ our King at the very same moment. Now, someone once pointed out that when there's going to be a great family reunion, someone always chimes in, "Don't start until we all get there." Friend, I'd like to think that that's exactly how God has planned for things to be.
That's a beautiful thought, Lonnie, and a biblical one. Friend, we'd like to send you a new gift copy of a great Bible study book entitled The Antichrist and the New World Order. It addresses many of the very last day issues Lonnie's presenting all this week and next. For your free copy, write to us here at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for The Antichrist and the New World Order. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie?
Thanks, Ken. Tomorrow we'll be exploring this question, will there be anyone on this earth during the thousand-year millennium? Here's our Thursday title, One Lonely Empty World. We'll see you tomorrow. She allegedly directed the killing of 18 men and was charged with complicity in 55 criminal cases involving murder, kidnapping, and robbery. But when Phoolan Devi walked out of prison after 11 years, she was greeted by thousands who burst into rapturous cheering. Why? Why would thousands of people cheer a bandit leader? The answer is simple. They were hungry for justice. You see, the 18 men Ms. Devi reportedly killed had gang-raped her in 1981. Because of their high social standing, they were not punished. When Miss Devi took matters into her own hand, other people who were poor and powerless cheered. They saw her action as a simple balancing of the moral scales. The world is desperately hungry for justice. We are looking for someone who can put things right, someone who can restore the moral balance in our world after a child is killed in a drive-by shooting or a terrorist murders dozens of unknowing people. The Bible says the Lord will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. He who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. God will see justice done. Count on it.